if property prices are, frankly, doing your head in, and you're worried if you'll ever be able to afford to buy. Today, we're looking to beat that overwhelm so you can finally get into that first home. And we have the perfect listener letter to do this with, from someone who's based in Wellington, wants to stay in the city they love, but it's just feeling out of reach. So today we're going to unpack what's actually happening in the property market, how you work out whether now is the right time for you to even consider buying, and how to research good areas when everything looks expensive. Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry. Get that inside word on what's happening right now so you can make some smarter choices with your money.
Making Sense is partnered with realestate.co.nz to get you the info you need in today's market. realestate.co.nz gives you so many ways to search and so much information to help you make decisions. realestate.co.nz. Download the app today.
So, Vanessa Williams from realestate.co.nz, you have brought the data as always. You ready for the letter?
I am indeed. Please share.
Hi, Francis. You did a financial wellbeing seminar once for our company. Since then, I've become a silent follower, not the creepy type, LOL. Love the clarification. Of your socials and podcasts, and now I want to ask for advice. I know you've made a lot of episodes about buying your first home, but I am still lost, almost so anxious, confused, and pressured right now. My friends keep telling us this is the best time to buy, but looking around here in Wellington, I feel like there's no way we can afford to buy. The property prices are insane, but can't deny the fact that Wellington is home for us, especially for my kids. So, questions I want to ask. Is it really the best time to buy? Or in a few months or years from now, do you think the market could get better or worse? How should I start? How do I find the best suburb to be looking in here in Wellington? What would you advise a first home buyer like me who doesn't know what to do? Thank you, and I hope you'll have the time to read this email. Lots in there.
There is a lot in there, yes.
So let's start with a big one. Is it a good time to be a buyer right now?
Yes. The simple answer is yes. And the reason that I say that is because the market is much cooler than it is in a hot market. And why that's important for buyers is that it gives you the time to make a strong financial decision, not under pressure. Because I think part of the biggest challenge is when we're in a hot market and you can get, depending on your personality type, swept up in the hype and the auctions, the excitement, the open home shoe index, as we call it, depending on how many open home shoes are out there. If you are a buyer in this market, you've got interest rates coming down, so therefore it is actually cheaper to borrow money. You've also got a slower market, so therefore it gives you the time to make sure you get that building inspection done, that you have a really good look over the contract, understand the LIM, and understand what it is that you are purchasing into. I kind of picked up a bit of a vibe from this listener that she's feeling a little bit anxious.
So much anxiety in this letter.
Right? And yeah. I was just like, my heart went, ooh, poor sausage. So I was sort of thinking, if that is how you are feeling and you're wanting to be a buyer, genuinely wanting to be a buyer, now is actually a great time to be one because you're not going to feel the pressure and the anxiety that you already got around purchasing a house. Having the anxiety and the urgency of a fast market as well, I just think would compound too much for this particular listener.
Yeah, and it does, especially when you're in that first home space. I mean, we don't buy houses that often. I do think there's the likelihood of anxiety at any point in the process. But for that first home, when you truly have never done this before and it feels like so much is on the line, really easy to feel that overwhelm feeling. I mean, when we look at the numbers of the situation as well, how much do you think it depends on the market and what house prices are doing versus your own personal financial situation?
I think that first and foremost is your own personal situation, because the reality of it is it doesn't actually matter what the market's doing. If you can't afford a house, you can't afford a house. So the Wellington market, when you look back to 2021, 2022, we were peaking in the Wellington market around $1 million. Come October 2025, so just the most recent stats I've got, they're back down to around 800,000, But for this particular listener, you've got to think about that there has been quite a shift in the Wellington market. And I suppose the question is, are we at the bottom or are we at the top? We never actually know if we're at the bottom or the top unless we can look backwards, because, mm-hmm. you know, as much as I'd love to say my crystal ball's on point 100% of the time, that would be lying.
Yeah. We make very good educated guesses.
Yes.
They are still guesses.
Yep. Guesstimates are what we live and die by. But look, we, you know, there's enough information out there to suggest that we are somewhere near that bottom of the market, because it's just been so flat for so long now. The national average asking price has been around $850 for almost 3 years now. So at a national level, I mean, month to month things do change, especially in markets, smaller and bigger markets. But the reality of it is that nationwide, we've been pretty flat now for 3 years. And Wellington will start to see it soften a bit. I mean, look, what we're going to see, I hypothesize, is we're going to see a whole bunch of activity in the Wellington market. With it being election year next year, there will be policies come out. People will be jostling for, you know, getting those votes under. So that's going to create a bit of activity in the Wellington market. But look, I think if this listener is thinking about buying, they've got time at the moment. Interest rates are looking good. And they have also got actually a healthy number of stocks. So there's actually quite a bit of homes available on the market in Wellington as well. So you want to make sure you've got that supply to look at, and buyers are being a bit more considered with their purchases.
Mm. And something she mentioned here, and I think this is an enduring issue for anyone who's in a big city, especially if you're there for very good reasons like work or family or whatever. People can be in these areas for good reasons, but it's expensive in a big city, almost always. And there is that weighing up that I picked up in some of this letter, where she's thinking, you know, Wellington is home. And I would like to stay here, but it's so expensive. So how do you think people can weigh up those area ties? Maybe you're thinking schools, maybe you're thinking work, maybe you're thinking the extended family, versus looking for a bargain in different areas, maybe going further out. How do you balance all of that stuff? And is there a cheat code? There's not usually a cheat code, but just in case.
Yeah. Gosh, I wish there was a cheat code.
Yeah. But
look, I think you are dead right. It's sitting down and getting really honest with yourself. I don't know how old her children are, but if they're primary school age, is there a way that she could move further afield and be happy to move them into a primary school with a view that you could train them into Wellington? Because Wellington's got some fantastic public transport systems. So is there an opportunity to really think about what is it that's ultimately tying you down, and how strong is that tie? Because I think sometimes we think, oh, I have to stay here because of X. And if you actually unpack that for a moment and go, why am I telling myself that I need to stay here for that reason? Because let's be honest, we're not trees, right? We can actually move. Questioning and sitting down with, you know, family, friends, partner, children, you know, depending on how old they are, and having that open and honest conversation, because your lifestyle could be very different if you live, let's just say, up in Wairarapa, right? You might be able to get a bit more land. You might have children that have always wanted a dog or a cat or a pony or a llama.
You might be able to have the llama if you've got a cheaper house.
Right. And I was like, do we have llamas or alpacas? Anyway.
I think llamas are the mean ones and alpacas are the nice ones.
Okay.
So maybe let's go for an alpaca.
Okay, let's go for an alpaca.
Yeah.
Rewind. Alpaca. I know.
Find the perfect property faster with realestate.co.nz, the home of property. Realestate.co.nz allows you to search the way you want based on your budget, the location, the type of house. You can even draw on the map to find properties in a specific area. You can filter by price range, number of bedrooms, even keywords like brick and tile. If you're keen to avoid buying at auction, you select to view houses with the price displayed. That's super helpful, especially if you're using your KiwiSaver. When you've narrowed down your search, realestate.co.nz will alert you when a new property that matches it hits the market. Download the realestate.co.nz app to find your perfect property faster.
Sometimes we can tell ourselves in our head, well, no, the kids won't want to move, or no, my job is here and won't let me work from home a couple of days a week, or oh, there's no possible way I could do X, Y, and Z. And actually really challenging those thoughts that you have in your mind and go, well, how much am I tied to this particular suburb, this particular house, this particular centre city, or, you know, because there are a lot of fringes. And I think your lifestyle can be very different when you've got quite a big mortgage in a big center city and perhaps you're a bit hamstrung financially, or you can have a bit more travel time, perhaps have a bit more in the bank, or, you know, and the mortgages are a bit cheaper, or your ability to pay it off faster, but you actually have quite a different lifestyle. And the other thing I would say, and you're dead right, like some of these bigger cities, because they have the employment opportunities, because they have the ability to nip up the road to a concert or the ability to go to a sports game, they are, you do pay for that luxury. Yeah. So then I suppose the question is, if that's super important to you and you are tied here, could you think about property in a different way and actually not live in the house that you first buy? Mm. Could you be, which I think I learned on this podcast actually, a rent vester?
Yeah.
Could you do that instead and actually look at the financials and go, okay, if we were to rent this house and speak to like a financial advisor, a mortgage broker, somebody, and go, what would it look like if we were to purchase a rent investment property and rent it out, so that we're getting ourselves on the property ladder with a view that there might be a step or two before you actually buy that house that is so important to you in those big cities, and just think about it a little bit differently.
There we go. I'm having to stop myself from getting into llama chat. The whole time you were giving us like great property chat, I'm just like thinking about llamas and alpacas.
They're very cute.
Yeah, they are very cute. I'm going to minorly derail us because I did go and talk at an alpaca farm one time, talk to the farmer.
Really?
And yeah, I love it. It's so much. There's an alpaca farm, I think, in the Wairarapa, or there was. Anyway, really fun. Went and talked to them and they said, when you have a bunch of alpacas, they're too sweet. And you need a leader.
Oh.
So you bring in a gelding llama because they're bigger. And because they're a gelding, they're not aggressive like most llamas are, a little bit dicks.
Wow.
Because they're big, they're then the boss and they like lead the herd. I don't know if that's
sure.
We'll say herd. Nobody's going to correct me here. And then you have this gelding llama who's really nice and really sweet. So there you go. Llama fact for you and amongst our property.
We are all learning today.
Move out of Wellington, get some llamas and alpacas. But if it's a llama, make sure it's a gelding.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Well, we've just really solved this listener's challenge. Haven't we? I think Wairarapa is the place to be.
Property tip. Look, if someone is a first home buyer, mm-hmm. and she mentioned about, you know, looking for the right suburb. So obviously she's really thinking she's going to try and get into bargain hunting mode. Love that. Can be a bit overwhelming during the research. Is there a hot do and a hot don't when someone is a first home buyer researching?
Yes. So I would say don't rule out any suburb. If you are in your research mode and you are heavily into saving those searches, saving those properties, understanding what's happening in the market, going to those open homes, sometimes, and I actually know quite a few people who have gone, I'll never be able to afford X suburb, and actually have found, and we use this term, but the worst house on the best street.
Yeah.
Or they have found something that is just a little, like it might be a cross-lease property that, you know, is deterring people within that particular suburb. But actually, you're totally fine with a cross-lease. Don't just, right, again, it's that story you're telling yourself, oh, we'll never be able to afford there. I'm not saying get your hopes up and go, that's where I must, you know, purchase. But what I would say is you'd be amazed at the different types of properties that even exist within a suburb and the different types of houses and configurations that perhaps aren't as attractive to somebody else, but are very attractive to first home buyers.
Oh, 100%. 100%. It's really funny, actually. Speaking of, my first home was in Wellington as well, and Wadestown, which is right next to, you know, the whole Parliament precinct, is often quite fancy. I would have never thought. We just had a broad Wellington saved search set up. And then this one popped up actually in our price range. It was a seller who was looking to sell quite quickly. So they were more motivated to negotiate. And it was this little unit perched really precariously on a cliff. So classic Wellington. And so it was smaller. It was a unit that was attached to another, you know, dwelling. And it was so much more central than I would have thought we would have got. If we hadn't had that saved search and hadn't had it popped up and just hadn't kept it as an option, we would have missed out on that. And we'd been thinking we were going to have to move to the hut or something.
Yeah. So nothing wrong with the hut, though.
Nothing wrong with the hut. Got great friends in the hut. But I could walk to work from this one.
Yes.
Awesome. No llamas. But it was a really great place and such an amazing step on the ladder for us. So I think you're dead right. using those saved searches, knowing what's important to you and just watching that market, you just can't go past doing a little bit of that research that time, right?
Yeah. Yes, I agree. And the other, so that my don't would be don't rule out any suburb. You might want to tailor those saved searches so that you're not just getting everything. But I like what you did around just go, right, let's just go Wellington Central and see what happens. You start to get a lot of influxes, maybe just chunk up the saved searches. If you get a bit feeling a bit overwhelmed, I would say, you know, you could sort of put what maybe a saved search per suburb. Nice. So you know that what you're looking at when it comes in to your inbox. The thing I would say to do is, do really challenge those stories that you're telling yourself in your head. Every time you catch yourself with something going, I can't, I won't, I'll never, just really stop yourself and go, is that true? Like, because, you know, if you're telling yourself every morning, I don't know how I'm ever going to get into a house, then you start to believe you're not sure you're going to get into a house. If you wake up every morning and go, I am going to own a house. I'm going to get emails today. I'm going to be excited by my opportunities. You know, it'd be hard at the start, especially if that's not naturally the way that you think. And if you've got a hype girl, hype guy at work or friends or family who can help you out with that as well, please use them. You know, your village is really important to you, especially when you're buying a house. You know, nobody's done it until they've done it. And then they are usually experts. But look, great barbecue chat. But look, you know, I would say, yeah, don't ever rule out a suburb, and definitely just really think about those stories that are coming through and challenge yourself to try and change some of those messages.
I love it. I think that's such an important message. Thank you so much, Vanessa Williams, realestate.co.nz. And if you have a question that you want us to be answering on the next one, we can dive into it, pull out all the data for you and get some great tactics. ask@francescook.co.nz. It'll be on the screen for those who are watching the video. It's also in the description of the show notes. So get us those emails. Let's get your questions answered. Until next time, hit subscribe on Making Sense and have a great day. Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.